Without that, we might still have been a cotton sharecropper. Talk about how to take the pain out of our past. Each of us has had our own boll weevil experience. It interrupted the pleasures of our life. It stole our joy. It had the audacity to invade without invitation, and it probably came by a surprise. Chances are good it devastated our faith at the time. We were cut down to size. The lot was cast. But did it end our days? We didn't die. On the contrary, in many cases, it became our turning point toward real living. The problem occurs when we don't build our monument, when we don't establish our own Purim, our plan for celebrating. Are you still living in the sigh and the pain of all the sadness that comes over you when you remember the brokenness? That's what this is about. This isn't just a story about some ancient feast in Persia. God has given us His Word, not simply to teach us dates and learn about Hebrew history. He's given us His Word to reconstruct our lives, to build monuments where we once wept and bled, where our lives were hurt and our hearts ached, when we felt displaced and devastated. But forgetting that which lies behind and moving forward toward that which lies ahead, this is the way we press on. This doesn't mean we just forget the past, proclaiming, "Oh yeah, it was awful." Instead, we build a monument, celebrate the feast. During such celebrations, we pass along the lessons that led to the changes and results in the maturing experiences that were so essential in our lives and so different from when we were just a bunch of cotton sharecroppers. When I read verses 17, 18, and 19 of Esther chapter 9, I smile. Why? Because I'm reading about a people who decided, let's name this day a day for a holiday. Let's call it Purim, which could be translated, "In your face, Haman, here's to our God." Another outrageous Swindoll paraphrase. This was done on the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day they rested and made it a day of feasting and rejoicing. But the Jews who were in Susa assembled on the 13th and the 14th of the same month, and they rested on the 15th day and made it a day of feasting and rejoicing. Therefore the Jews of the rural areas who live in the rural towns make the 14th day of the month Adar a holiday for rejoicing and feasting and sending portions of food to one another. Esther chapter 9, verses 17 through 19. This reminds me of the spontaneous celebration that became the first Thanksgiving in the New World. After enduring the bitterness of winter, the early colonists decided to hold a feast, celebrating their survival and giving thanks to God for His protection and provisions throughout the past months. It was a spontaneous celebration of praise. It was our forebears, Purim. God had turned their hardship and sorrow into pain and gratitude for health and joy. This early feast officially became Thanksgiving when the governor of Massachusetts declared it so. Verses 20 through 28 of Esther chapter 9, we find the Feast of Purim becoming official, as recorded by Mordecai, who, quite possibly, wrote the book of Esther. Read these words as if you're reading them etched in stone on some memorial site. Then Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to celebrate the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same month annually, because on those days the Jews rid themselves of their enemies, and it was a month which was turned for them from sorrow into gladness and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them a days of feasting and rejoicing and sending portions of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Thus the Jews undertook what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the adversary of the Jews, had schemed against the Jews to destroy them and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to disturb them and destroy them. But when it came to the king's attention, he commanded by letter that his wicked scheme which he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. And because of the instructions in this letter, both what they had seen in this regard and what had happened to them, the Jews established and made a custom for themselves and for the descendants, and for all those who allied themselves with them, so that they should not fail to celebrate these 2 days according to their regulations and according to the appointed time annually. Esther chapter 9, verses 20 through 27. So it was to be an annual holiday. Two holidays, really, the 14th and the 15th. And notice the reason for the holiday. Because on those days the Jews rid themselves of their enemies, and it was a month which was turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning